remember, it's his breath that's in our lungs.
Amen.
So our praise goes out to him.
Praise.
So praise God every day.
Praise.
Praise God. Praise God. We'll get right to it so we can get done. I want to talk today, and you guys remember that if you get too hot, just come forward. And all you can, again, get it in the fellowship hall for relief. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He is saying to us that we should resist the present thinking, the customs, the system that we are operating in. And we should resist the conduct of this world.
Amen.
It is a must, because the world is in such a condition today that just about everything out there is pretty much contrary to Christ.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Everything out there,
come on,
is pretty much contrary to Christ. So for us, it should be an easy step to renew our mind, unless we've just lost all of our moral standings or our moral compass. So you see, it says that we should be not conformed, do not change, do not get into the world establishment. It is saying to us that we are in the world but not of the world, so we are to avoid it.
Amen.
It says, and we can do that by the renewing of our mind.
Yes.
So you see, the renewing of the mind is an important thing for us. It is important for us.
Yes.
And we need to consider it at all costs. And in order to renew our mind, first we have to change it. We have to change our mind. I'm going to stop doing this and start doing that.
Yes.
I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to go over here. We have to change our mind. And then we need to cultivate it or rebuild it, so to speak, or renew it, as the man said, renew it. And that is to clean all of that old stuff out and get new ideas, new information, and new thoughts. And then we have to control it. We have to control it by keeping that old stuff out and keeping the new stuff in. And the final step would be to occupy it. Occupy your mind by doing or functioning in the new stuff that you have, and keeping yourself busy, doing good, and so forth. So you see, those four steps will help us in renewing our mind.
Yes.
Those four will complete the process of delivering your mind from its infirmities and deficiencies.
Yes.
That's what that process will do. But we again have to be part of that process by being aware and staying focused. And when we do that, then we can find ourselves going in the direction that God wants us to go. You see, because we, again, as Christians, we are commanded not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We got to not think of ourselves as being better than everybody. Well, I'm a Christian and he's a sinner and I. Don't think of yourself more highly than rationally think of yourself and self-evaluate, because we all have flaws and we all have discrepancies going on in our life. So we have to do that so that we can stay on that plane with Christ. But we must know where we want to be. We have to know where we want to be. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he."
Amen.
As you think in your heart, so are you. And that means rational thinking, you see, because some of us get carried away sometimes and, "Hey, I think I can fly." "Oh yeah, I think I'm God." Well, the Bible said, if I think I'm God, then I must be. No, you got to be rational. And it, you're leaving out that part about in his heart. If you think in your heart, so are you. So in your heart, you know that you're not God, and you know you can't fly. So he's speaking to a rational person when he tells us that, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So get busy in the renewal of the mind, because the renewal of the mind is the process that we need to conform with God's standard. And the Bible says that we are to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How can we do that? We can't just go, well, let's see, I'm going to read you a couple of verses and you will know. No, we have to be a participant. We have to be a walking epistle of Christ. That means that when people see us, they have to see Christ in us, and they have to know that we are God's children and that we represent Christ.
Amen.
We call ourselves Christ's ambassador because we say, I'm a Christian. And if you are a Christian, then you're following in the footsteps of Christ.
Amen.
But we must again remember that that transformation cannot take place without the renewing of the mind. The mind has to be renewed for that transformation to come into play. And that transformation is to change from who you are to what God wants you to be. Off the book right now, my grandson had a toy when he was a little boy. It was called a Transformer. And he loved that thing. But what he didn't know, Grandpa was amazed at that thing. It was a little toy, but it was a car when I first saw it. And then he would come out, it was an airplane next, and then the next time it was a man, he could just do a few turns and clicks and little stuff on it, and it would change it. And in studying now, when I relate back to that, that's what it's all about, to be not what you used to be, but still be you.
Yes, amen.
You don't change. It doesn't matter what you put in or what you take out. You're still going to be you. If you're ugly today, you're going to be ugly tomorrow. You could have changed all of your past, but you're still going to be, I'm going to recognize you. But what I won't recognize is your character or the way you act, because you will have changed from the inside out. And this is what he's talking about. Be not conformed to this word. Don't stay the way you are, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will still be identifiable, but you will be different. You will be different. And that transformation don't come without the renewing of the mind. The mind must be renewed in order for us to make that transition. And the Bible says that when we make that transition, then we become the epistles of Christ. We become that visible word of God in action, so that those who don't know Christ can use you as an example.
Amen. Glory to
God. So it is important for us to make that change.
Yes.
It's important for us to make that change. So you see, just changing the mind is not enough.
Yep.
Just changing the mind is not enough. The mind must be renewed. And I'm talking about exposing it to as much of the light of truth as you can get, and then some. Yep. I mean, and then being able or having the ability to practice and to operate in that truth. And then, I hope you see where this is going. It's taking you to a place where it says that the life then is transformed, becoming like Christ. And the mind is becoming a vehicle for the Holy Spirit. And that good and perfect will of God is proven through the life. You see what he's saying? That's how you prove the perfect will of God is by being it and acting it. And when people can see you in it, then that's the will of God.
Amen. Amen.
How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. That's you now. You see, when you make that transmit, that is you. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is using your mind as a channel for its expression.
Hallelujah.
And now you become like Christ. You see, when the Bible, when it tells us that we're made in the image and likeness of Christ, you can't run around saying that you look like Jesus if you're not acting like him. Because see, if we all was made in the image and likeness of Christ, then we'd all look alike. But we all look different. I can distinguish between every person in here. A couple of you look a little like you could be brothers or sisters. But still, we all have our unique and independent visual properties. Some of us are cuter than others, like me. But I'm just saying, we are different. And we all look different. But the only way that we can look just like Christ and all look the same is by following in the footsteps of Christ. And that's what we say when we say Christians. We're saying we're following in the footsteps of Christ. And when you follow in the footsteps of Christ, then there is no mistaking who you are, because you can be identified through your actions. And people will know who you are by the way you conduct yourself. The scripture tells us you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. A good analogy for you can tell a Christian by what he does. I mean, I have never ever went and picked a cantaloupe off an apple tree. It don't work. You have to go to the vine to get the cantaloupe. The pear tree is a tree, but nevertheless, it's not a lemon tree. So you see, you are identified by your conduct. And if you are operating in the will of God, then you can prove what is that perfect and acceptable and good will of God. And that's what he asked us to do. And that is what we identify ourselves as, Christians. But we have to walk that walk. You see, because a person who's never been to church a day in his life will tell you to your face, oh, you ain't no Christian. Everybody knows what a Christian is. We don't know how, but they all know. So if you're not doing godly things, people will find you out. People will find you out. So it makes you a hypocrite.
Oh, I ain't going. Everybody down there is a hypocrite.
One person characterizes the whole congregation. We are the body of Christ.
Yes, yes.
We are the body of Christ. Just because I don't function like you, I don't look like you, does that mean I'm not part of the body? We must not be conformed to the standards of the world. We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Amen.
And our mind is what the Holy Spirit channels its expressions. And it uses our mind as a vehicle to get the message out.
Glory to God.
And if the message is not in, it can't come out. Thus, you have to clean out all that clutter and all of that dust and all of that trash that you've been saving up in your mind that you think about night and day, and the foolishness and what you used to do, and all that must be gone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that he who is in Christ is a new creature. The old stuff is dead, it's kicked out. He says, passed away. And all things have become new. All things have become new. You are in a learning process. You are speaking different. You are acting different. You are looking different. Because now you're beginning to look like Christ. Because everything in you has become new. So you see, changing your mind is not enough. You must renew your mind.
Amen.
Because you can't change a couple of parts in there and expect it to operate or perform perfectly with still some of that old stuff in there. You got to put everything in there new. Everything has to come out. Otherwise, that old stuff will keep popping back up. Popping back in. And that's why you must learn to talk to God about your mind. You need to talk to God about your mind. Because when that old stuff starts to creep back in, you have to hold it down.
Amen.
You have to keep it dormant.
Amen.
And if it rises up, sometimes you might have to speak to it. Shut up. Lay down. Get out of here. I don't need it. You see people walking down the street yelling, shut up, get out of here. What do you think? Well, that's what they're going to be thinking about you. Something wrong with that. But you don't care as long as you're accomplishing your goals. So don't be afraid to talk to God about your mind. It's okay. Especially when you're going over to see Gertrude, you know she's going to be backstabbing people. You know she's going to be gossiping. You can look up to God and say, God, guard my mind today. And when you get over there, sure enough, Gertrude's talking about everybody she can think of and backstabbing people. But by the Holy Spirit using your mind as a vehicle, you might pop up and say, hey, well, Gertrude, let's pray for the people that you're talking about.
Amen.
You want me to start or you want to go first? And I bet you, Gertrude say, you go first. Because Gertrude don't want to pray for them. She might bow her head, she might even close her eyes, but you can bet she's not praying. She's thinking, what's wrong with this fella? He wants to pray for somebody I want to kill. And think of that as part of your ministry, you see, because if you are influential, she may change and may give her a pause to think.
Yes.
But then if she don't, just think of this. She's going to be calling Mary Ann and saying, yeah, she was over here. And you know what she did? She wanted to pray for them people who treated me like that. You know, she's crazy. But this is who we are. Peter told us again that we're supposed to be peculiar. We're not supposed to be like other people. And this is why we're in the process of renewing our mind.
Yes.
And trying to get out of the sphere of the world.
Yes.
Because the world is such a dark and crooked and wicked place. For people who are seeking God, the changing of their mind and the renewing of their mind should be a simple thing because they're not part of that in the first place. So you're already halfway there. All you need to do is make the decision. The decision is yours now because you're already there. But until we renew and change our mind, we will be living in the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
And we will be indulging in the desires of the flesh and our mind. And you probably think I thought that up. I didn't think that up. Let me show you. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Watch this, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see what they're saying to us? It is saying that before we made the decision to change our minds or to renew our minds, we were just like everybody else, living in the lust of the flesh. Whatever we thought was cute, we gravitated toward. Whatever we thought smelled good, we wanted to sniff it some more. Whatever we thought felt good, we wanted to keep touching. We were not guided by what is right and what is wrong, by what is best for the whole body. You see, our whole bodies can be corrupted by one action. By one action, our whole bodies and mind can be corrupted. Because if you, here's a good example. If you touch poison ivy, that one action will change your whole day. That is the same way sin is. If you indulge, it will corrupt your whole body. So our minds must be changed because the enemy is present. And we must remember, we have a sinful nature. And it's not going anywhere. It's in there. And it will rise up from time to time. But we must know how to combat it. And to combat it is to use that new information, that light of truth that we have obtained. We need to continually practice that. And as we practice it, it becomes part of us. We know the story of most every athlete, you know, they practice and practice, they drill and drill. So when they get in the competition, they don't have to think about it. They just go B to C, A, B to C. They just know where to go because that's what they practice. And that's how we can combat the enemy, because he is constantly approaching us. He's 24/7 on his job. See, we come to church, we've done our good deeds for the day, we're through. So we leave ourselves open for the rest of the day, and the enemy can just come in there and pound us. Because we're good. We're good. Paid my tithes, said a prayer, went to church, said hello to everybody, said God bless you 7 times. I'm good. No, we have to constantly be aware of who we are and whose we are, and use every opportunity to speak that word, to practice that, so that that will become part of who we are. And this is how we look like Jesus. Remember, the transformation is the life being transformed to look like Jesus. And the mind becoming a vehicle for the Holy Spirit. And that is what proves that good and perfect will of God. You see, that was supposed to be a surprise, but he wrote it in chapter 1 of Romans 12. We just started in verse 2. It was in verse 1. That if we surrender ourselves to Christ and submit our bodies as a living sacrifice, that means, in simple terms, to serve God with all of our heart.
Hallelujah.
Serve God with all of our heart. Now, Paul said himself that he was a slave for Christ.
Yes.
Now, slave might be a bad word today.
No.
We don't care. We say it anyway.
Yes.
But he said he was a slave for Christ.
Amen.
But you will have a clarity of your mind when you surrender yourself to Christ.
Yes.
Your mind will be clear about who you are.
Yes.
But again, it's a complete surrender. And then it is a service with all of your heart.
Amen.
Not halfway, all of your heart.
Yes.
Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things. Everything. That's what you serve. Everything. all of that. That's all of that. We may say it's hard, we may say it's complicated, but this is the way to get where we want to be, and we must know where we want to be. Because if we don't know where we want to be, we just traveling in circles. Think about getting in your car, not knowing where you're going, but I'm going somewhere, and you're just driving. Where are you? I don't know. Well, I'll turn here, and then I'll turn over. If you don't know where you're going, you're just going. Our destination is the kingdom of God. Christ being our Lord and Savior. If anybody don't know Christ as a Lord and Savior, then I would ask and advise that you would do that as soon as possible. And now is no greater time or no better time than any other time that you would come and give your life to Christ and seek that renewed mind so that you can enjoy the benefits of Christ. You see, Christ says that he will never leave nor forsake you. So any problem that you have becomes his problem when you belong to him. You see, I'm not going to ever come over to your house and work on the car. I'm never going to come over and clean your house. That is my responsibility. I mean, that's your. And it's your responsibility.
Yes,
because it's your house. My responsibility is for my car and my house. God's responsibility is to his people. And when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and give your life to him, then you become his responsibility. And that is where you want to be. You want to be in the hands of Christ.
Amen.
So if you don't know him, I extend that invitation to you this morning. It's a simple process. It doesn't take long. Just a couple of words to ask Christ to be the Lord of your life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for asking, for giving us the opportunity to be in your presence. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will go before us and behind us and keep our feet on that narrow path of righteousness, guiding us in the way that we should go. And Father, helping us to get our minds in order, to help us to be what you want us to be. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would give us an opportunity to share what we have with those who don't know you. We know that we have you and we have your light. So, Father, let us shine that light upon those who are in the darkness. Fill us, Father, with a desire to serve and help us to be all that we can be. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.